Good morning, church. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. It's nearly 11 o'clock, actually 9 seconds, but we'll wait till people join and then we'll start our service. People starting to come in, just gone 11 o'clock. Good morning, everyone, as you're joining. Good morning, Michelle. Wow. That's great. There's a lot of you on time this morning. Hallelujah. Quite a few people joining us now. Good morning, Kate. Snowing there. Yes, we had some hailstones about 20 minutes ago. All clear and beautiful now. Good morning, Chris. How are you, sir? Blessings to you too. Just looking at the people coming in. Good morning, Graham. How are you, my friend? Great to see you this morning. Morning, Stuart. How are you? Say hi to Ellie and Annie for me. Good morning, India. Sundar, Santi. Great to have you online. Lovely to see so many of you coming in. It is a beautiful day now. I'm looking outside. The hailstones have passed. It's a little bit windy today. Good morning, Stuart. Morning, Corrine, Fiona. If you're with Stuart. Hi, Pauline. Say hi to Steve and Marcus for me. Yes, well said, Chris. Blessed, highly favoured, and deeply loved. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll have to get some t-shirts with that put on. I've been looking at t-shirts. You're having errors loading the video, Michelle. Just keep trying. I think it seems to be hopefully working. We're getting lots of people online making comments. Well, it's so good to see you all joining. Remember, if there are errors in your loading, you can watch later on Facebook or on our website. So if it's cutting in and out for you, that's a real shame. But you can watch later at your leisure. Amen. So it's still only 2.5 minutes past 11. We'll wait for a few more people to arrive. I was with some people last night, some dentists who are threatening to come in and see us this morning. We'll see if they arrive. Good morning, Madeline. How are you? It's good to see you. Say hi to Addy for me. I trust you're all coping well in lockdown still. Still blessed, highly favoured, deeply loved. Still getting into the Word. Still blessed by his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, Sean. How are you? And Evelyn. Good. On at last. It's great to see you. Sean, say hi to Carol for me. Hallelujah. So many people coming online. That's great. So good to see you, folks. Good morning, Corrine. Bless you. Amen. So that's past 11 o'clock now. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship, coming live from Vic's study in Arvis, the mighty metropolis that is Arvis. It is so good to see you. Thanks for joining. We're going to have our Sunday service again online. We'll be starting with the Word and giving you a message from the Word of God. Then we'll receive our offering in faith, and then we'll take communion together. So I've got my elements here. If you haven't got your elements yet, you've got plenty time to go off and grab your elements and join us in communion. So we'll finish with communion. So I'm just going to open in prayer, and then we're going to delve into the Word, and we're going to look and see what the Lord's saying to us today. through the word of God. So Father, I thank you that we're here this morning. Thank you that we've come together. Thank you that in accordance to scripture, we have gathered together or assembled together, the word says. Thank you, even though we're not in the same place physically, we are together here and gathered around your word. So we thank you for the institution that you call the local church. Thank you for the ecclesia, the body of believers. Thank you for the body that are online right now, all the believers. And thank you for the believers that are going to be watching and listening in the future. Hallelujah. Speak out a blessing over this meeting. Pray that people will be blessed as they hear the word, blessed as we receive the offering, and blessed as we take communion. So I thank you that we are going to gather around your word now, Father. Thank you for these scriptures. Thank you that they are God-breathed. They have literally come from your mouth, Father, written by men but inspired by you. Thank you that they are the incorruptible seeds. Thank you that they are the truth. They were the truth, they are the truth, and they will be the truth. So we thank you for your word, Father. I speak our understanding right now as we sow these seeds, understanding as the seeds go into our heart. Pray for understanding for the people now and the people listening in the future. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen by the enemy. Understanding so that the seeds will grow and produce fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have people from India. I do believe we have people from Africa online this morning as well. And Lossie. Hello, Michelle. How are you? So let's get down to the word. I've been preaching recently. I saw a mini-series that I called the I Will series. Statements that we saw Jesus making when he said, I will X, Y, and Z. And we saw that whenever he said, I will, we saw that that happened. Because Jesus' word is the absolute truth. He cannot lie. And if he says something, he will do it. So we looked at that over the last 5 weeks. And I'm going to change slightly now. I'm going to go on to a similar vein, but slightly different. I'm going to look at some more of the statements of Jesus, but I'm going to look at the ones that I call the I am statements. Some fantastic I am statements in the Word of God. Now, if you look online, if you do a search, or you look in commentaries, you will see that generally that we're told there are 7 I am statements, and they're really well-known ones. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And I will cover those over the next 7 weeks. All in the Gospel of John, my favourite gospel. So I'll really enjoy teaching from out of the book of John. But my revelation over the last few years is that there are more than 7 I am statements. There's this 8th I am statement that Jesus mentions quite a few times in the Gospel of John. And this I am statement, I think, is the most awesome and most incredible, most profound statements that Jesus makes. And I'm going to cover that one first. Now, as I was thinking about that, interestingly, I remember that I talked about it a few years ago. If you've been coming to MGF, you'll know there's generally nothing new in my messages. I've taught them before and I will teach them again in the future. But I try and get a different revelation, a deeper revelation each time I teach something. And I went back to see what I taught on these I am statements. And it was in 2010 that I did that. Must have been very soon after we started Murray Grace Fellowship. I taught on the I am statements, and it's interestingly, I just taught on the 7. I never spoke about the 8th, and that was a real lesson for me. It tells me that we need to keep studying the word, and we'll get deeper revelations, new revelations, further, deeper understanding of the word as we move on rightly dividing the word of God and studying the word of God. So it was a real lesson for me. You know, if you think you know something, you really ought to go back and study it again. Say if the thought comes to you, I've really understood forgiveness, I think you should go back and study it again. Or if you hear yourself saying, I think I've got a really good grasp on righteousness, you need to go back and study righteousness again. That happens to me quite often with the account of the prodigal son. I keep going back to it, and there's always something deeper, another layer of revelation there, another bit of deeper understanding. So it's always good to go back and study excuse me, study what you think you know. Amen. So, I want to talk about this eighth I am statement. So let's go to John, the book of John, and go to chapter 8 with me. And you could read the whole chapter because it's one long discourse, one long event. But I want to read from verse 52. And it says, "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? What makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, excuse me, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Hallelujah. Awesome, awesome passage of scripture. Jesus here in this long passage in chapter 8, he does a lot of things there, but he's towards the middle and towards the end, he's in debate with the Jewish people in the temple. And they're debating about death, they're debating about Abraham, about the prophets and whatever. And we see them saying this to him. "You're not yet 50. How can you talk about Abraham? You've not seen Abraham. How can you know about Abraham?" Fair thing to say, actually, because Abraham had been dead a long time. I think one commentary I saw said that Abraham had been dead about 2,000 years before Jesus arrived in the flesh. And John answers them this way in verse 58. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am." There's that statement. Nothing after it. Not, "I am the bread of life." Not, "I am the light of the world." Just, "I am." And this was, and this is, very profound. It's a real profound statement. Has huge implications for our faith. This thing that we call Christianity. You see, Jesus was saying two things in essence here. First thing he was saying was, "I was around before Abraham was born. I was here before Abraham," is what he was saying. Now, we know that couldn't be talking about the flesh, because Jesus wasn't over 2,000 years old. We know he was about 30 or whatever when he started his ministry. He probably lived about 33 years. So we know he's not been alive for over 2,000 years. We know he hasn't seen Abraham in the flesh, as it were. So this can't be talking about his earthly life. This must be saying that I was existent in some other form before Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus is saying, I was here before Abraham. Okay, maybe not in my flesh, but in some other form, some other existence, I was here. And in fact, the truth is that Jesus was pre-existent before anyone and everything. Turn with me back a few pages, John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Some of my favourite verses in Scripture there. Now we know the Greek for the word here is logos. And we know that that is a name for Jesus. I normally just say that, but I want to show you that today in Scripture. So turn with me to 1 John 5. 1 John 5 and verse 7. And that says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." This is talking about the Trinity. Now, normally, when we're talking about the Trinity, we say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But here it says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And the Greek for Word here is also logos. So when we see that word logos, that word word, we know that is speaking about the person of Jesus Christ. So that's proof that John 1:1, when it's talking about logos, is talking about Jesus. Very clear that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we can paraphrase that. If we know that word logos means Jesus, we can actually read it this way. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. You see, Jesus was, Jesus is, part of the Trinity, part of the Godhead as the Son, as the Word. But he was also God himself, in his own right. Three in one, one in three. Don't ask me to rationalise that. Don't ask me to try and fully understand it in this small human brain of mine. But I just have to believe that because I read it in the Word. And I've preached on this before. You've heard me preaching on this before. I'm not going to go into detail today, but Jesus was the agent of creation. You read Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. Read Hebrews 1, 3. Read Ephesians 3, 9. Read Revelations 4, 11. He was the agent of creation, and he is the sustainer of this creation. Today, he holds it all together by the word of his power, another verse says. So Jesus always was, Jesus always is, Jesus always will be. He was the agent of creation. He is still the agent of creation. He is sustaining this beautiful creation. I mean, I've been talking about that in communion. The beauty of creation just now is something that is just astounding me. I don't know if it's because I'm not allowed out all the time, but when I get out, creation is just amazing me. Nunzi will tell you, I'm walking along and all I'm saying is, oh, look at that gorse. Look how beautiful that gorse is. Can you smell that gorse? I think Nunzi must be getting really fed up about hearing about gorse. But creation is awesome. And that's what Jesus did. And that is what he is doing. And holding it all together. And friends, Jesus knew this truth. He absolutely knew this truth. He knew he was God. And he told people. He was very clear about this. He knew his deity and he proclaimed this on several occasions. And that is what he's doing right here to the Jewish nation in John 8:58. Let's read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Proclaiming he was God. And you could say to me, well, Vic, he doesn't actually say that. He doesn't explicitly say, I am God. He doesn't use those words, I am God. Well, I agree with that, but actually that's what he is saying. And especially if you were a Jew at the time, you would have clearly understood that that is what he is saying. Because the Jews at the time really knew their scripture. I mean, some of us think we know scripture. Nothing compared to what the Jews knew. They could recite the Torah from memory. I can probably get to John 1, 2 or 3, and that's about it. But they could recite the Torah. They knew their scriptures. And they knew exactly what Jesus was saying here. Go with me to Exodus 3, which these people would have known by heart. And as Jesus said these words, these scriptures would have popped into their head. Exodus 3, we know that's where Moses has his encounter with God Almighty. Moses in the burning bush. Moses given his job of leading the people out of Egypt into the promised land. But Moses was not sure what to say to the people. He didn't know how to explain this to them. So in Exodus 3, verse 13, it says, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Awesome. God called himself, I am. That's the expression he used to Moses. That's what he said to Moses. He said, Moses, when you go back down the mountain, when you talk to the people, just say, I am sent you. I am hath sent me unto you. Jesus was a good Jewish boy. He would have known the scriptures. All the Jews there would have known the scriptures. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying when he said, I am. And the Jews knew exactly what he was saying when he said, I am. He didn't need to put God at the end of that little statement. He just needed to say, I am. Here is God in the person of Jesus Christ saying, I am. Saying he was existent before Abraham. Saying he was existent before everything. Saying he was God Almighty. Jesus was God. He knew that and he told people. And he's telling them that here in John 8. 58. I should have put my marker in John 8:58. And he does it in other places too. Go back a little bit in John. John 8:24. Jesus says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now you might be saying, oh, well, Vic, it doesn't say I am there. Well, actually it does, because the he is in italics, and we know if it's in italics, it wasn't in the original Greek. And the translators put in these extra words in order to help it flow grammatically and help it people to understand it, to flow a little better. So it wasn't actually in the original Greek. So Jesus there again saying, I am. In John 28, another bit with a little bit of italics. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. Oh, hallelujah. What are these saying? These are saying that if you believe not that I am, you're going to perish. But if you believe I am God, you will be saved. We know it in John 3:16. 28 there, he's saying, when I am lifted up, when my time comes, when I'm crucified and risen again, then you'll know I am. That will be an indication that he's God. They are statements of deity. And Jesus knew fine what he was saying. If you don't believe in me, you're dead. And you're soon going to see me as God when I'm raised up on the third day. Real indications of deity. In the garden, when they came to arrest Jesus, look what he said there. There, further on, John 18. So they're in the garden, they're looking for Jesus. John 18:4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. But the he's in italics again. So it's Jesus saying, who are you looking for? And they're saying, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I'm struggling with that today. And Jesus said, I am. In the original Greek. He's telling them that he's God. And just in case they didn't get it, love repetition in the word, he says it again. In verse 8, I have told you that I am. He's saying it again. Repetition in the same account, repetition in separate accounts. Jesus knew fine he was God, and he was telling everybody about it. He uses I am on a number of occasions. Repetition. Oh, but that's all from the Gospel of John, Vic. Maybe this is just John's interpretation. We know the book of John really wants to focus on his deity. Maybe it's just John that says this. Well, let's look at Mark. Mark 14. And I know Nancy will be jumping up and down now, getting all excited, because this is a bit of her typology. Mark 14. And I'm going to read 61 to 62. But this is Jesus in front of the high priest. And this is an amazing bit of typology here. I'm not going to get into that today. Maybe you need to get the message that Nancy preached or not, or we'll get Nancy to preach on it again. But here's the high priest of the old covenant in front of the high priest of the new covenant. Awesome. And we see that transfer going across from the old covenant to the new covenant. A change of high priest. Oh, it's awesome. Awesome typology. But anyway, back to what I want to preach on today. So Jesus is in front of the high priest. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And what did Jesus say? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the man, the Son of Man, sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. High priest of the old covenant, high priest of the new covenant, the high priest of the new covenant saying, I am. Didn't need to add on God at the end of it, because the high priest of the old covenant knew fine what he was saying. And we actually see the high priest of the old covenant just doing his nut and ripping open his clothes, which he wasn't allowed to do. And in a sense, that signifies the end of that priesthood, of the end of that high priest, and the end of that covenant. Awesome. Now you may think, well, he's just answering the question, Vic. It's like somebody say to me, are you Scottish, Vic? I am. Do you come from Arvis, Vic? Oh no, that wouldn't be, it would be I do. are you Scottish, Vic? I am. So it could be that. You could say, well, Jesus is just answering the question, but no. He is doing so much more than that. And we see the implication of his answer by the reaction from the high priest. He rent his clothes, something he should never have done, because that high priest knew what Jesus Christ was saying, because Jesus was expressing his deity. He was saying he was God. And you may be thinking, well, that's all good and well, that's great, Vic. Yeah, you've preached on this before, we know this. You know, why are you preaching on this again? You know, we really know this. Well, I would ask, do you? Do we really know this? Do we have deep revelational knowledge? Do we have that epinosis knowledge of Jesus being the creator, of Jesus being God? Do we have that real experiential knowledge of that deep in our heart? Now, I was talking about this with Nancy, I think it was yesterday, we were out cycling, it was either yesterday or Friday. And I was saying about how this is just really coming alive in me at the moment. Now, it's not just that Jesus is God. It's what is amazing to me. Amazing as that is, that's not what's really exciting me. It's not even that he is the agent of creation, although that is awesome and wonderful as well. What is really coming alive in my heart and really speaking to me at the moment, what's truly astounding for me, is that this God, this creator, loved me enough to become flesh and dwell amongst us. And it's the same for you guys. He did it for the whole of mankind. But what is really exciting me is that my creator, the creator of all that beauty out there, you know, that almost perfection of creation, the gorse bush, he created that. That creator was made flesh and came to his creation and dwelt amongst us. That is absolutely astounding and profound. The creator became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Absolutely amazing. And that makes our God, that makes Jesus Christ, our God, absolutely unique among all the gods, with a small g, all the gods that are worshipped in this world. Now, I'm not going to call true Christianity a religion, because it's not a religion. But this is what makes our faith, our walk, different from every religion out there. In religion, you work. In religion, you do. In religion, you try and move yourself, strive towards your God, to reach out to your God. In religion, you have to earn your relationship with your God and earn your blessings from your God. But in our faith, the true living God has already reached out to mankind through the person of Jesus Christ, who was God. And that is truly, truly amazing. You've heard me preaching on this many times, folks. But I got a different revelation as I was meditating upon John 8:58 this week. And my meditation this week was that this this passage in John, coming towards the end of John 8, is a profoundly sad passage. It's a very sad account. Now you may think, well, that's quite strange, Vic. You're saying it's amazing, it's awesome, it's profound. Aye, it is. But it's also one of the saddest accounts in scriptures when I was thinking about it. Right here in this account, this is in the temple. The temple that the Jewish people built for their God to reside in. And right here in verse 58 and 59, their God is not welcome. Not welcome in the temple. And they try to kill him and cast him out. That is profoundly sad. God, in the form of Jesus Christ, is standing right in front of the Jews. And the Jews, the most zealous nation that have ever been on the face of the earth, have been waiting thousands of years for their God, for their Messiah, for their King. And they've built this huge temple for him. And here he is, in their temple that they built for him. And they don't recognise him. They're not interested in him. They are just full of rejection and hate and bigotry. Hallelujah. It's a really profoundly sad, sad statement. You see, John 8 does start in the temple. We see the woman taken in adultery. We see other things happening through it. But it's that whole discourse, the way I read it, there's so many and then statements, that this looks to me like it's the whole discourse is in the temple. So this is Jesus in the temple. Their God in his temple that they built for him. And he has to hide from them before they stone him. Very, very sad. I remember before I became pastor, when I was in training, I was asked to teach a series and I taught on John. So I studied the book of John. And a lot of what I studied has stuck in my head. And I was taken back to verse 10 and 11 as I was meditating on this. John 1, 10 and 11. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He created us. He created man and he just didn't. We didn't know him, is what it's saying here. He came unto his own and his own received him not. I remember thinking then, oh, sad verses. Sad verses. And he came for the world and the world didn't see him. He came for the Jews and the Jews didn't see him. Although some people do, obviously. But we know that wide gate to destruction, a lot of people are going to go that way. So, profoundly sad statement. Jesus came to his own and they rejected him. You can look at that in two ways. Like you can say that, well, it's about the Jewish nation and a lot of the Jewish nation rejected him. And that's what's happening in John 8, 58. But also we could look at it in our situation today. He came for his own. He came for mankind. We're created in his image. We are his. Everything has been created by him and for him. So we are his. He came to his own and his own received him not. People see Jesus and reject him. People see creation all around them and they reject him. People hear the word and they reject him. Jesus is reaching out through his church and they reject him. He is not welcome. But there is good news, my friends. And if you've been watching the comments, Michelle is about 5 minutes ahead of me. Hallelujah, there is good news. We live in a new time. We live in a new covenant. In John 8:58, we see God being rejected from that man-made temple. But if we are born again, folks, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God himself resides inside us in this temple. And I don't know about you folks, but for me, he is very welcome. And he's not going to hide and he's not going to leave. Hallelujah. That is awesome. He is welcome and he's never going to leave. Amen. But what is also awesome And as if you're listening and you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Saviour yet, today may be the day. But if you've rejected him in the past, if you've said he's not welcome in the past, he is ready to dwell within you in a second's notice. You may have turned your back, but he's not turned his. You may have rejected him, but he's not rejected you. I rejected Jesus for a long, long time. Long time. Staunch atheist for a long time. Rejected all that my wife was telling me. Rejected all that our family were telling me. Turned my back on Jesus many, many times. But he never rejected me. And that night when I asked him to be my Lord and Saviour, straight away. No conditions. No, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, nothing. Just straight in. And that's good news, folks. That's good news for us who have been born again. We now have the indwelling God inside us, residing in us, and will never leave. And they'll never leave us nor forsake us, the word says. And if you have rejected him in the past, the good news is that he's not rejected you. And he will become your Lord and Saviour at a second's notice. And that is good, good news. What I want to summarise from my message today, well, the good news is that Jesus was and Jesus is God. God himself, yes, but part of the Trinity, the living God, Father, Word, and Holy Spirit. And the living God, if you've been born again, the living God is inside of you this morning. Hallelujah. Residing in you, and he will never leave you. And that is a truth I want to finish on for us as believers today. And if you're not a believer, he will reside within you. If you believe he's the Son of God and you speak that out with your mouth, if you believe he's your Lord and Saviour, it's a simple process. You may have rejected him in the past, but he doesn't count your rejections. All he's interested in is that one acceptance. Hallelujah. And that is good news. And I want you all to meditate on that truth today and during the week, that Jesus was and Jesus is God. Jesus was and Jesus is the Creator. And the even more amazing truth that that God, that Creator, became flesh and dwelt amongst us so that you and I might have an abundant life. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that word blesses you as much as it blessed me. Hallelujah. Amen. Bountiful provision. Hallelujah. Awesome. Yes. Hope that message blessed you. It really blessed me preparing it. It really blessed me meditating upon it. And you know what, guys? It actually blessed me delivering it this morning. It didn't feel like a sermon or a message. It just, I'm feeling excited. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we are now going to receive our offering. As I've been doing every week, thank you so much to those of you that are giving through the internet, giving through Bax transfers. That is fantastic. I also did some Bax transfers at the start of this week and sent our money on to Pastor Sundar and Santi to continue the work out in India. It's an amazing work you're doing out there, guys. Feeding that village, it is awesome. It's great to see the cooking going on and the packaging and then the faithful son, my faithful sons. Hallelujah. Samuel and Koti getting out and delivering it. And there's a couple of pictures, there's another few of the young men delivering that as well. So that is awesome. Sundar, Santi, keep up the good work, my friends. We're all right behind you here. I'm not just saying Scotland, but we have people all over the world giving into that work. So, as I say, we still have lots of work that we're involved in, not just India, but here in Scotland as well, and ministries that we support. So thank you for the offerings that you've been giving over the previous weeks, and thank you for the one that you're going to do today. If you're keeping the cash for us, that's great. I will look forward to receiving that. What a glorious day that'll be, and I can go into the bank. Hallelujah. So Father, I'm just going to pray and receive this offering right now in faith. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for the giving people of MGF. Thank you that they're cheerful in their giving. Thank you that they're obedient in their giving. Hallelujah. Thank you for the scriptures that we read about sowing and reaping, about giving and receiving, about sowing into the kingdom. And we thank you for that opportunity to do that right now, Father. We thank you that everything we have has been giving from you. Thank you that everything we had has been created by Jesus, created by him and created for him. Thank you that all our resources are actually his. And thank you that we are simply stewards of those resources. Stewards able to funnel and flow his resources through ourselves into the kingdom. So we thank you for the awesome privilege of giving into your kingdom this morning, Father. And I speak out a blessing over it, and I thank you that these offerings will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Awesome. And now let's take communion together. I have my elements. I mean, we've really been focusing on Jesus all morning with that message. You can't not have Jesus in the forefront of your mind after that message. But communion is a time of real focus, real meditation on Jesus Christ and what he's done. We see in Luke where Jesus instigates communion, but we also see in 1 Corinthians 11 where Paul talks about communion. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Both in Luke and both here, it tells us what we do during communion. It's a simple act of remembrance. Remembering what? Remembering Jesus Christ. Remembering who he was, who he is, who he will be. God, creator, sustainer. But it's also remembering him and his finished work. Remembering who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we have through Christ. We remember all the... Remember that simple theology we spoke about, atonement? We remember all the bad things that he took and we remember all the good things that he gave us. Deep theology that, guys. Gets rid of the bad things, gives us the good things. Hallelujah. So we remember that as well. We remember that he took our sickness and our pain and our diseases, and we remember that he gave us healing, supernatural health. We remember that he took poverty, and we remember that he gave us prosperity. We remember he took our rejection and he gave us his acceptance. Awesome things to remember. There are so many things to remember about the Lord Jesus Christ. We focus in on him. We meditate in on him. Who he was, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what it means for us as an individual, what it means for us as a church, and what it means for us as mankind, as the cosmos. So there's lots of things to remember about the Lord Jesus Christ. So hallelujah. So Father, I thank you for these elements. I thank you for the symbol of his body. Body broken so that we might be made whole. A body that took sickness, pain and disease so that we might have health. A body that took poverty so that we might have abundance and prosperity. A body that took rejection for acceptance. A body that took punishment for forgiveness. Hallelujah. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for the symbol of his blood. Blood that was shed once and once only. Blood that was so perfect, dealt with all sin for all men for all time once. That's Hebrews 10 if you want to look it up. Hallelujah. Thank you that sin was dealt with once for all forever. And thank you, Father, that your Son, Jesus Christ, is now seated at your right hand with his work being finished, done, paid in full. I thank you that it's not just my sin, not just our sin for the church, but thank you that you paid for the sin for the whole world. He was a propitiation for the whole world's sin. Thank you that we have been forgiven, Father. Thank you that we've been reconciled. And thank you that now every man, because of the blood of Jesus, has the opportunity to live in that forgiveness, has the opportunity to give back, become reconciled, reconcile themselves to you. So we thank you, Father, for our forgiveness and our reconciliation. Thank you for the opportunity for all men to be saved and made righteous, all because of the blood of the Lord. We thank you. So the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, you are so good to us. You are a good, good Father. Thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you and praise you for your mercy, your compassion, your love. And we thank you for the manifestation of that mercy, compassion and love through your Son, Jesus Christ. Himself, God and Creator, becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. Thank you for his life on earth. Thank you for his ministry and his words. Thank you for his finished work on the cross and the grave and rising again. Thank you that he's ascended, now seated at your right hand, Father, with his work finished. Hallelujah. We thank you and praise you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Yes, awesome, awesome truths that we've had there today. So thank you for joining us. It's been really good to see you all. Remember, I think we may be moving into our 7th or 8th week of lockdown. I've kind of lost count, but we're continuing having communion daily. We're continuing having our Bible study. We've had a couple of really good pub quizzes. Thank you, Carl and Sean, for your entertainment on Friday night. That was awesome. We're going to be having more of those. So we are trying to stay together as a community. I've had some great text messages and text communications as well over the week. It's been good to see that the people are out there still communicating. So stay together as a group, folks. Continue your study in the Word, your meditations. This is a good chance to have some good time with the Lord. Remember, when you're in lockdown, you're never on your own. The Lord said he will never leave you, forsake you. He said he'll be with you always to the end of the world. So even if you're sitting on your own this morning, physically, you're not on your own. The Lord is there with you. But also remember, you've got this community of brothers and sisters around you. Feel free to get in touch with each other, just to bless and to be a blessing and to be blessed yourselves. Amen. So we'll be having communion during the week. We will be having Bible study on Thursday night. We'll be having another pub quiz. So if you want to be involved in that, just get in touch. But it's been really good to be able to join you this morning. I hope you've been blessed by this service. And I'm sure we will be able to meet again soon over in Langbride once we get out of this lockdown. So God bless you all. It's been a joy to be with you. We'll see you during the week. Goodbye now. Amen.